This is KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
CBS News. A new indictment has been lodged against accused Japanese influence peddler Yoshio Kodama, a key figure in the Lockheed payoff scandal. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The Tokyo District Prosecutor's Office Monday filed an indictment against Kodama, charging him with receiving about $1.5 million from a Lockheed official. Sources close to the prosecutor's office said that amount was received in May of 1973 from Lockheed's former representative in Japan, John Clutter, the payment constituting a violation of Japan's foreign exchange control laws. The latest charge came only days before the statute of limitations for such an indictment would have run its course. Kodama already is accused of evading nearly $3 million in income tax on money received while serving as a secret consultant to Lockheed. The millionaire businessman is alleged to have received millions of dollars to help promote sales of the U.S. firm's aircraft in Japan. Federal and local authorities in Los Angeles have intensified their investigation after three more weekend cross-burnings in residential areas. The latest incidents brought to 10 the number of cross-burnings since February. FBI Special Agent Elmer Lindbergh told CBS News the incidents may have violated federal laws.
The cross burnings in many of the neighborhoods, it involves a black person who lives in a predominantly white neighborhood, and the fairness in housing portion of the civil rights statute could be involved. And the FBI will send those facts to the Department of Justice, who will make a determination as to whether or not the civil rights statutes have been violated.
Lindbergh says the incidents appear to be isolated, that neither the Ku Klux Klan nor any other white hate groups have been connected to the cross burnings thus far. President Ford will meet at the White House Monday with his chief campaign planners to map strategy for the future campaign. Sunday, he met with White House aides and decided that in addition to the already scheduled Wednesday campaign trip to his home state of Michigan, he'll make a second visit there next Saturday. Aides say privately, Mr. Ford now says winning Michigan, as well as emerging victorious from Tuesday's primary in Nebraska, is crucial to getting his campaign momentum going again after suffering four straight primary losses at the hands of Ronald Reagan. Authorities in Alaska's McKinley National Park believe three Japanese mountain climbers succumbed to exposure while attempting to scale a peak. They'd been missing since May 3rd, but now have been located. Details from Jerry Rose of CBS Radio Anchorage affiliate KBYR.
Rescue teams have been unable to recover the three bodies. Pilots flying over the area for several days noticed the forms of the three men, but then also saw there was no activity, and the pilots realized the mountain climbers were dead. A Park Service spokesman said the exact cause of death is not known, but it's believed the three were overtaken by severe weather on the exposed ridge and died about 1,000 feet from the top. The three were part of a 13-member climbing expedition attempting to reach the 16,500-foot summit of Mount Foraker. The three are believed to have broken away from the rest of the climbing party in an attempt to reach the top alone. The other 10 members of the party have abandoned their effort to reach the top and are awaiting better weather to make their descent. Jerry Rose for CBS News, Anchorage.
Rescue officials have appealed for additional thousands of tents in northeastern Italy's quake-devastated area. Rain most of Sunday drenched thousands of homeless. Officials said 25,000 people already have been sheltered. Tents for another 10,000 are being erected, but additional tents are needed urgently. Rescue workers continue to sift through the debris from Thursday night's quake, with the official death toll now at 812. Two more quakes Sunday caused considerable panic, crumbled a number of buildings which had not fallen before, but caused no additional fatalities. Authorities in Italy still fear the death toll finally may be counted at 1,000. CBS News continues following this.
Are you giving your children all the attention they deserve? Naturally, we all wish we had more time for our families. This is Susan Strasberg for the National Society for the Prevention of Blindness. And as a mother, I think the health and safety of our children's eyesight is one thing we can't afford to neglect. Potentially dangerous toys shouldn't find their way into children's unsupervised playtime, and hazardous household items should be kept well out of reach. 90% of all eye accidents that occur to children are preventable. Two-thirds of these accidents occur during play or sport, and most of these children are unsupervised. If that happens, then parents are obviously not doing their job. We must teach our children how to play safely and safeguard their vision. For free information on children's eye safety, write Prevent Blindness, Box 426, New York, New York, 10019. The address again, Box 426, New York, New York, 10019.
There's a big debate going on in Kansas City. Is the state pronounced Missouri or Missouri? Kansas City Star resident humorist Bill Vaughn insists it's Missouri. But another native writer, Martin Quigley, editor of the Midwest Motorist, is just as insistent that it's Missouri. The magazine, published by the Auto Club of Missouri, well, the state, polled its readers. Of 2,000 returns tabulated so far, 57.4% favor Missouri, while 42.6% say Missouri. Vaughn undaunted wrote, "Those of us who pronounce Missouri correctly do not bring this business up." But Quigley got in the last word, asking, "If it is Missouri, why in the name of Mark Twain ain't it the Mississippi River?" Mike Stanley, CBS News.
CBS 4 Seattle, this is KIXI, the weather outlook. Increasing cloudiness tomorrow with chance of rain late tomorrow and tomorrow night. Showers and partial afternoon clearing Tuesday. Highs about 70 tomorrow, lower 60s on Tuesday. Lows near 50. And in downtown Seattle, currently it's 65 degrees. Taking a look at sports briefly, in the National Hockey League title round playoffs, Montreal beat Philadelphia 4-3. The Canadiens lead the series 1-0. In the National Basketball Association semifinals, Boston beat Cleveland 94-89. The Celtics lead the series 2-0. Phoenix over Golden State 133-129. That series tied at 2 games each. In Major League Baseball today, in the National League, San Francisco and Montreal split. Pittsburgh beat Atlanta, San Diego downed the Mets, Philadelphia bombed Los Angeles, Cincinnati over Chicago, and Houston beat St. Louis. In the American, Chicago beat Detroit, Texas downed Boston, Minnesota over Milwaukee, Oakland beat the Yankees, and California defeated Cleveland.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall, plenipotentiary from that mysterious realm whose major exports are terror, mystery, and the macabre. In silence can man most readily preserve his integrity. Or, to put it another way, no one ever got into trouble by keeping his mouth shut. Test the premise for yourself. What has brought you the most grief? Speech or silence?
But you can become fabulously wealthy, Gerard.
I'm not interested.
You're not interested? Listen, get yours while the getting is good.
Don't worry. I'll get mine later.
Later? When later?
After I'm dead.
After you're dead, you'll get nothing.
You're wrong. I'll get immortality.
Oh, great. How will you enjoy it?
Well, I won't enjoy it.
Well, then what good is it?
I need it.
Why?
To validate my principles. To prove I was right.
You know something? You're a nut.
Our mystery drama, The Framis, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Howard Da Silva. It is sponsored in part by Allied Van Lines and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Well, sir, I see you're one of the many people who bought a new Buick Century.
That's right. Boy, you want to talk about roomy and comfortable. Just take a look in there. Go ahead.
But you have curtains hanging in your car.
Yes, wallpaper, too.
Well, why's that?
Well, we like the Century so much, we decided to sell a house and live in it.
Huh. Well, doesn't that get just a little crowded?
Oh, I suppose it might after a while, but we aren't home that much.
Oh.
Yeah, we got a little Skyhawk up north.
Buick, dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone. Hi, this is Tony Marvin for the National Leukemia Association. Please remember this name, Project Research. Join me and get on a winning team, because it's only through research that a breakthrough can be made. Throw your knockout punch against leukemia. Send your tax-deductible donation today to Project Research, care of the National Leukemia Association, Box 3039, Garden City, New York. Our thanks to you for Project Research.
Electrical appliances are extremely useful time-saving aids. But without proper precautions, they can be instruments of destruction. In fact, government statistics show that 80% of all electrical appliance accidents are due to carelessness. Underwriters Laboratories consumer safety expert Janice Farr says there's an easy way you can help avoid contributing to that 80%.
That's right. I strongly recommend that you read and heed your appliance instruction booklets. Most booklets contain valuable safety tips, such as recommending that you unplug your portable appliance from the outlet when not in use, and that you not let the cord hang over the edge of a table or counter, or touch hot surfaces.
And to be extra safe,
it's a good idea to keep your instruction booklets in a convenient place for quick and easy reference. Remember, the instruction booklet is there, so why not use it?
This has been a public service announcement from Underwriters Laboratories and this station.
The meek, we are told, shall inherit the earth, but not, however, in the immediate future. And so, at this point in time, and until further notice, the meek shall have the usual tough sledding. Well, that's how it goes. Today we shall tell you a little fable about the meek. And because it's a fable, we'll have it take place in a mythical kingdom. Therefore, for your benefit, we have created one called the United Kingdom of Limbovania. Our hero is named Gerard. He is a jeweler. He's very good. But he is very poor. Do you know why? Because he is a philosopher. Did you ever hear of a rich philosopher? There is a law that says that not only must philosophers be poor, they must also have cross, querulous wives. Well, it's very late at night, and Gerard is alone at his workbench, holding aloft a magnificent silver cup, which he has just crafted. And he is making a speech to an imaginary audience. Yes, he's that kind of person.
Fellow citizens of Limbovania, I appear on this national television network to set your minds at rest and your hearts at ease. Though I have been besieged by envoys from the Louvre in France, the Prado in Spain, the Metropolitan in America, this magnificent silver cup that I have just created shall remain here at home. This does not mean that I support our corrupt and oppressive monarchy. This does not mean that I have now joined the lifeless, bloodless, decadent charlatans at the Royal Academy.
Well, you're giving everybody their lumps tonight, aren't you?
Oh, I thought you were asleep.
What's that thing?
This? It's a silver loving cup.
So, that's what you were working on. I might have known. All these nights, I listened to the hammer. I say to myself, maybe he's seen the light. Maybe he'll make something he can sell. Why do you make things like this cup?
Because I find it...
Who asked you to make it?
No one.
Who's gonna buy it?
Nobody.
Then what's the point? What are you after?
Immortality.
What?
Immortality.
Oh.
In this cup, I make my statement.
Oh, forget it.
In this cup, I say, look, world, here in precious metal...
Forget it.
But I want you to understand.
I don't want to understand.
But when you don't understand a person, you may grow to hate him.
Oh, settle for that. Because when you do understand a person, you may want to kill him. What was that?
What was what?
That terrible noise.
My dear, what is it?
Gerard. Look there.
What? But what is it?
Sophie. Sophie, what are you?
Don't say another word. Look. Look at this.
Where did you find that?
I happened to glance over to the window. That crack of thunder smashed it a few moments ago, and it was lying there on the floor beside the broken window. It was lying there, just lying there on the floor.
Let me have it.
Oh, isn't it absolutely the biggest, the brightest, the shiniest, most brilliant diamond in the whole world?
Yes. I must look at it.
Oh, look at it. Examine it.
Yes, yes.
How much is it worth?
Oh.
Tell me.
Shh.
All right, I'll be quiet. I won't say a word while you examine it. You're the craftsman, the master, the genius. Oh, what do you think? 500? 1,000? What am I talking about? 5,000? I bet I'm not even close. It's your reward. Your reward for being honest and sincere and idealistic. The good Lord does something like this now and then. He has to. Oh, $1,000,000. It must be worth $1,000,000.
Amazing.
Fantastic.
What sparkle.
What light.
What facets.
What color.
What a spectacular configuration.
What's it worth?
Oh.
What's it worth?
What's it worth? Nothing. It's a piece of glass.
No.
I admit it's a remarkable piece of glass,
but see how it shines. It's all fire and ice. How can you say it's a piece of glass?
Well, let me give you the scientific explanation.
No.
Glass breaks all the time.
I don't want to hear it.
And once, just once, every 54 trillion times, does a piece of glass break exactly the way this one did.
Wives kill their husbands for less.
You see, it broke along the fulfuration of the guideline of serenity instead of splitting in the ordinary way down the altercation of the plumb line of stress. You follow this?
Wives shoot, stab, strangle their husbands.
And the result is called a Framis.
With a good lawyer, she's home free.
So ask me, what's the remarkable thing about a Framis, huh?
I still have enough appeal for a jury.
The remarkable thing is that only I can tell it's a Framis. Any other jeweler would pronounce this a diamond.
What do you mean, only you can tell it's a Framis?
Because only I have done the research. I am the trailblazer, the discoverer, the pioneer in a brand new, so far unknown science of Framisometry.
Oh, well then, Angel, were you to put that into a gold or a platinum setting, it would look exactly like a diamond ring?
Well, sure.
I don't believe it. It's impossible.
Impossible? You're talking to the man with the fingers. Watch. See how I do it? Just a touch. Now a tap. Now a twist. Turn. Tighten. And here it is. Fit for the finger of the king.
Oh, magnificent. I'll print a sign. Beautiful diamond ring for sale.
Sweetheart, you cannot sell this as a diamond.
Why not, beloved?
Because, precious, it's not a diamond.
Who's going to know the difference?
I will. Oh, it'll be so easy to call this a diamond. And I'm tempted. That's why you must help me.
Help you do what?
Help me withstand temptation. Help me keep my honor.
I'll do nothing of the kind.
Sophie, every man's integrity is tested once in his life.
Well, how do you know this is the test?
This is a Framis, and it's a fraud.
Oh. Well, in that case, there's only one thing a man of honor can do. Destroy it.
Destroy it?
Well, as a man whose integrity is being tested, you have no other choice. All around you are the means of destruction. Acid. Dissolve it. Fire. Burn it. Or pick up your hammer and smash it to powder.
I can't. After all, it's a lovely thing.
Oh, it surely is.
I don't have to sell it.
Mm-mm.
I can keep it and enjoy it myself.
Of course. And so, to bed.
Oh, good morning, Gerard, baby. Let's make love.
Please, don't talk like that, Marissa.
Oh, why not?
I'm a married man.
Well, that's why you need loving.
I haven't looked at another woman since I've been married.
Well, you're overdue.
Marissa, why don't you find a nice young man?
Why don't you come with me?
Come with you? Where?
Where all the action is. Let's go to the capital. Let's go to Autoclave City.
Marissa.
A man of your genius. Well, you're wasted on these peasants. Oh, and so am I. Nobody really appreciates me here either. What a team we could make. You're the fingers, I'm the frame. You could become the king's jeweler. I could become the king's mistress.
What?
Well, do you doubt your ability?
No.
Then don't question mine. Somebody gets to be his mistress, just like somebody gets to be his doctor, his lawyer, his barber.
Marissa, I'm busy.
Oh, now I remember why I came in. A cute lieutenant will be in here any minute.
Who?
Oh, I don't know who. He's drilling his men in the square. Couldn't keep his eyes off me. Oh, sell him that bracelet. I've always liked it.
How do you know you're coming here to buy you something?
Am I ever wrong?
Marissa, how will you end up?
The same way you will. Dead.
Well.
Oh, good day, sir. I'll see you later, Gerard.
What's her name?
Marissa.
Marissa. I tell you, Citizen Gerard, I have fallen madly in love with Marissa.
Please, Lieutenant, be kind to her.
Have I ever been unkind to anyone? Have I ever used the privilege of my noble birth to abuse my inferiors? Now, what have the two of you arranged for me to buy her? Now you have necklaces, bracelets, brooches, rings, so many old familiar things. And the ladies always sell them back to you, don't they? Well, my friend, this is my final go-round. You see before you the last Baron Melvin, the final withered branch of the dead family tree.
Oh, come now, Lieutenant.
The house of Melvin shall be no more. I have squandered the last of the family fortune. And here, these few coins. All that remains for the final fling.
It'll have to be something modest.
Yes, I know. I know.
I have here a bracelet.
Citizen Gerard.
Small, yes, but quality.
Citizen Gerard.
What are you looking at?
That ring. I must have that ring.
But it's not a ring.
Not a ring?
Well, yes, it's a ring, but it's not a diamond ring. The stone, you see, is a framis.
A what?
A piece of glass.
That's a lie.
It's true.
The setting, it's genuine platinum.
Oh, yeah.
And real gold.
Purest gold.
And you always surround a worthless piece of glass with precious platinum and purest gold.
Please, I was just...
No, you were just what?
I was just about to destroy it.
If it's displayed in your shop, you're required to sell it. That's the law.
There's no such law.
It's just been passed.
It's a piece of glass.
Say that again, and I shall run my sword through you.
Oh, please, Lieutenant.
Tell him to sell me the ring.
Oh, sell him the ring.
I can't pay for it now, but I will one day.
Please, put away your sword.
Well, whatever it's worth, 100, 1,000, 1,000,000.
Sell him the ring.
But I don't want to cheat him.
The ring.
He thinks it's a diamond.
He'll kill you.
The ring.
How can I convince him?
Give him the ring.
But I...
Take it, Lieutenant. Here, take it. Now, put away your sword, please.
Yeah. The ring is my ring. Send the bill to the house of Melvin. Fellow citizens, the house of Melvin has risen. The house of Melvin has risen.
Of Melvin has risen again. Indeed. And Lieutenant Melvin accepts the plaudits of the multitude, as all are blinded with adoration for the brilliant ring on his finger. And the adoring mob carries him on their shoulders into one shop after another. And soon he is costumed in splendor from head to foot, as befits the scion of the House of Melvin. But how high can the House of Melvin possibly rise? You'll be here when I return in just a few moments with Act Two.
Moving on with the allied spirit, going to a brand new town. You're leaving the
knows what's going on in your head and your heart when you move. Because we move more families every year than anybody else. We'll move you with a kind of pride that says just good enough isn't good enough. The kind of understanding that says we've been there before. That's how we've become the world's number one mover. We call it the Allied Spirit. Let it move you.
Hello, tomorrow I'm on my way. I know you're gonna bring a brighter day. I've got the Allied Spirit.
I look at it this way. I've played a wide variety of parts. I've played a man named Charlie who was mentally retarded. I've played a presidential candidate, a rodeo rider, and a PT boat skipper. And for each role, I try to learn everything I can about that character. I'm Cliff Robertson, and I'm trying to explain my reasons for wanting to see cancer conquered. In the parts I play, I learn how people are the same and how they're different. One common thing everyone faces is the threat of cancer. How we react is what makes us different. For me personally, I react positively. I know what I must do, and I do it. I'd urge you to do the same. Regular health checkups are protection. Knowing cancer's warning signals is a defense. And supporting the American Cancer Society is a way of getting rid of the threat of this disease. Please give generously to your American Cancer Society. As they say, we want to wipe out cancer in your lifetime.
Well, now, as we proceed with our fable, the principal square in the provincial city has never seen such a celebration. They are lionizing Lieutenant Melvin, who only this morning was a ruined and penniless aristocrat. But now, it's plain to see, the house of Melvin has risen again. For on Melvin's finger, there gleams a ring of surpassing brilliance. And so the bells are chiming, and the folk are shouting, and the wine is pouring, and the bands are playing, and all is pandemonium. Except in the shop of our friend Gerard.
No.
But so,
don't you set foot out of the shop.
He must know the truth.
What truth?
That ring, it's only a piece of glass.
Oh, mind your business.
But he's under the impression that...
Forget it.
It's only a promise. Now what's happening?
Where?
Look through the window. What do you see?
What do you mean, what do I see? I see the crowds.
But it's quiet. Suddenly it's quiet. No one is saying a word.
Yes, it is. It's quiet.
And see there. A big, important-looking officer has just put his hand on Lieutenant Melvin's shoulder.
Oh, the officer's saying something. Open the door. What's he saying?
Lieutenant Melvin?
Yes, what can I do for you, my man?
You're under arrest.
Under arrest? Me?
Sergeant, seize him.
You can't do this to me. I've done nothing wrong. Get your hands off me. I'm an officer, a nobleman, and a gentleman. I have rights. What's the charge? What's the charge? You can't just throw me into prison. No, notify my colonel. I demand to see my colonel.
Oh, stop the shouting.
Oh, Colonel Ramrod, I'm saved.
Lieutenant Melvin, I shall read to you the verdict of the court-martial.
Court-martial? Well, what court-martial? Whose court-martial?
Your court-martial. The accused, Lieutenant Baron Melvin, having been found guilty as charged, shall be hanged by the neck until he is dead. Signed, Millard Ramrod, Colonel Royal Cavalry presiding.
But I don't remember any court-martial.
The court-martial was duly convened, legally conducted, and arrived at its verdict in accordance with the law.
Yes, but I wasn't there.
That's not important. The verdict would still be the same.
But that's not justice.
If the court had acquitted you, would that have been justice?
Well, certainly.
Well, then you're not complaining about justice, only about the verdict.
But you can't hang an innocent man.
I don't want you to hang, Lieutenant.
Oh, thank you, sir.
I should not like to see you disgraced on the scaffold.
Oh, bless you, sir.
Here's my pistol.
Heaven will reward you, sir.
Shoot yourself.
Shoot myself. No! No, I tell you, I'm innocent.
I have here your confession.
I never signed any kind of confession.
It was signed for you. Oh, Melvin, stop fighting justice. Now just shoot yourself.
Oh, please, Colonel.
Look at yourself in that stolen finery. Why, that ring alone, that ring must be worth a fortune. That ring.
Oh, you like the ring? Take it.
No. God, I wish to leave.
Stop, Colonel, or I shall shoot you with your own pistol.
I am not afraid to die.
That's because you're afraid to live. You're afraid of life. That's why you vegetate here in this provincial post.
Oh, shut up.
Colonel Ramrod, military scientist and global thinker. And what are you to the brass in Autoclave City? A petty drill master.
I order you to be quiet.
The most brilliant officer in the army, and you'll die without a general star. Buy one. With this ring, you'll be able to buy one.
Maybe I'll die without my general star, but I'll die with my honor.
Order, Colonel, what is honor? Isn't the highest honor love for king and country, isn't it?
Yeah.
Doesn't the very life of the nation depend on the armed forces?
I would say so.
Isn't the safety of that country best preserved in your hands? Doesn't it make it absolutely necessary then for you to become a general?
Well, certainly how.
Don't fight fate, Colonel. I was meant to obtain this ring so that you might use it to save our country.
Yes. They're old, senile, and southerner-wise. It's a cesspool of intrigue. I must clean it out.
That's why you were born, Colonel. May I assist you in your holy mission?
This ring.
Yes? Who wished to see me? Colonel Ramrod? Never heard of him. What does this bumpkin from the provinces want? Probably been saving his pennies for years, and he'll walk in with them all tied up in his handkerchief. All right. I'll see him. It should be amusing.
Colonel Ramrod, at your service, madame. I have come here to pay my respects to your husband, our great minister of war.
You have come here to buy a general star. What do you offer me?
What do I offer? I offer you myself.
How dare you make such an offer?
Oh, you've been waiting for such an offer. Your days are spent in yearning for it, your nights in dreaming.
For your information, I receive such offers every day.
How do you? When was the last one? When was the last time a man offered you his heart, his soul, his life, his honor, his hope for happiness in this world and salvation in the next?
Oh, you expect me to believe that when I know I am no longer beautiful?
I find you beautiful, Lurline. Oh, Madame Lurline.
What interest could I have in love? I'm an old woman.
No, not an old woman, an older woman. Just as I am an older man.
Love was made for the young.
No. To the young, love is strong liquor, but to people like us, love is fine wine. Old wine. We do not drink to slake the thirst. We only sip to delight the soul.
Oh, all you want is your general star.
I have not come here for your tinsely star. I love you. Listen. 10 years ago, you and your husband inspected the garrison at Ground Bag.
I can't remember.
And I can't forget. You wore a green suit, black shoes, a corsage of white roses.
I always dress that way when I review the troops.
The most unbecoming costume I ever saw. But I fell in love with you in spite of it.
Oh, and you waited 10 years to tell me?
I waited 10 years to find my courage. I waited 10 years until I could find a gift worthy of the woman I love. This ring.
Oh, no. No, I can't accept this.
Take my ring.
No, please. Please go.
Why are you afraid to be a woman? Why are you afraid to love?
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid.
Then I will place this ring on your finger.
Oh, my general. My very own general.
Ah, general.
Do you like my hair up this way?
I wonder what my new assignment is to be.
Or down.
The war committee.
And how shall I dress? Green. You fell in love with me in green.
And my new duties.
Oh, love me. Love me. Oh, darling, I want to be alone with you, but I want to show you off to everyone. I want you to be my secret, but I want everyone to know.
What? Oh, darling, our love is enough for me.
Oh, not for me. You shall be presented at court. You'll be a sensation in Autoclave City. Well, my darling, how do you like the royal court?
It's not what I expected.
Well, all that the king wants to do is listen to rock music.
And the queen?
All she wants to do is find out who his latest mistress is.
Ah, that's obvious. That slim blonde girl. What's her name? Marissa.
Oh, she's just his friend. That doesn't count.
Do you know who his mistress is?
I don't think he has one.
Well, I suppose he has. And the queen finds out. What will the queen do to her?
Oh, she'll have her steamed.
Steamed?
Yes. That's why this place is called Autoclave City. One little mistake, and things get so hot for you.
Now tell me, dearest Lurline, why is the queen looking at you like that?
Well, I don't know, but...
But what?
That's how she looks at people just before they get steamed. Oh, now she's whispering to the king. If only I could hear what she's saying.
Look, would you quit bugging me, baby? I don't have no mistress.
You do. And I know who.
I think you flipped your wig.
Don't talk to me that way.
I'm the king. I can talk any way I like.
Oh, some king. This 2x4 nickel and dime. Maybe if you spend less time with your mistress.
Will you get off my back? I don't have no mistress.
Oh, go figure. You'd go for an old bag like her.
An old bag like who?
And to my face. She's my best friend.
What are you saying?
The Lady Lurline.
Oh, you are out of
it. I am? Look.
Look at what?
The ring. The ring on her finger. Who'd give her such a ring? Her 98-year-old husband?
Hey, that ring.
And who would dare wear such a ring at court? Who would dare outshine the queen? Only the mistress of the king. You gave her that ring.
Ooh, the ring.
To show me up. I'm gonna have her steamed. Leroy?
Yes, Your Majesty.
Steam her.
I am going to be steamed.
What does that mean?
The whole court will turn on me, say things, accuse me, taunt me, bait me, harass me, until they destroy me.
But why?
I don't know.
I do know. It's the ring.
The ring?
The queen. See? Look at her face. She thinks you're the king's mistress because you're wearing the ring.
Oh, but I'm not.
Look at the king's face. He can't take his eyes off the ring. Save yourself. Give him the ring.
Oh, no.
Can't you see the king wants that ring? Give him the ring before it's too late. Ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please. Lady Lurline has an announcement to make.
I have known our wonderful king since he was a child. I have watched him become a great king. And so, as a grateful and loyal subject, I wish to present him with this token of my esteem, this ring.
The ring? Oh, that
thank you.
That sun ring, Your Majesty.
Yeah, this ring, Marissa, baby. Hey. What do you think this ring is worth, huh?
Oh, big, big money.
There are diamonds, and then there are diamonds.
Oh.
Some of them, no matter how big they are, they just lay there, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, but this one, you can feel all that brilliance kind of explode-like inside of you,
yeah.
Huh? You know what I wanted to be ever since I was a kid?
A king?
Not just a king. Not some little scared slob of a king that fell into it. But a ruler. A mighty ruler of men. This ring, what do you think it's worth?
Oh, a fortune.
You can feel it, see? You can feel the fire burn, the ice freeze.
Get it appraised.
Yeah, by who?
The royal jewelers.
Ah, those clowns. You know what they'll say? It's a precious gem beyond price. But I wonder... Oh, I wonder what it's really worth.
Oh, it must be worth millions.
If only I could find a real, honest jeweler. One who isn't scared to tell me the truth, like.
I know a guy who couldn't tell a lie if his life depended on it.
And what good is he to me if he's not a jeweler?
He is the jeweler. The greatest jeweler in the world.
Baby! What's his name?
Gerard.
You should have expected this development. Everything that goes up must come down. We go away only to come back. You knew eventually that we would have to return to our old friend Gerard. You also know the question he's going to be asked. Do you know the answer he's going to give? Wanna bet? I shall return in just a few moments with Act Three.
Here we are talking with one of the thousands and thousands of people who bought a Buick this year. This is a Skylark, right?
That's right. Pretty, huh?
Indeed it is.
You want to sit in it? I'll let you for a buck and a quarter.
Do you charge to let people sit in your Skylark?
Oh, this is a very nice car. Look, I figure when word gets out, people will be lined up for blocks. Hey, you want to honk the horn? Give me a dime.
Listen, sir, Buick dealers let people do this for free.
They do?
Yeah.
Well, I think they're missing a good bet.
Buick. Dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
Fred, you're taking our gardening tools to the library?
Right, gets me in the mood.
Gets you in the mood.
Uh-huh. You see, dear, the library now has a lot of new services, and today I'm going to plan our garden.
Mm-hmm. So you're taking our rake and shovel.
Right. At the library, you can now attend a concert, see a puppet show, even borrow a classic film.
Do they have belly dancing lessons at the library?
How did you know?
Maybe it's because you're wearing that jewel in your navel.
Oh, yeah. The library. Come see what's new, besides books.
Put your shirt back on, Fred. I mean, the world's not ready for your tummy.
A public service message from the American Library Association.
The great and powerful wizard invites you to step forward and be heard.
Yes, well, Your Excellency, you remember how you gave the Scarecrow a brain and the Tin Man a heart?
Of course I remember. You don't forget a thing like that overnight, you know.
Yes, well, I'm here for a long.
A long?
I'll take two if you'd rather not break up the set.
And what's wrong with the ones you've got?
Shot.
What?
From breathing dirty air and...
Well?
Smoking cigarettes.
Cigarettes?
Mm-hmm.
You mean you allowed a pair of perfectly productive pig lungs to be pervaded by the perils of puffing?
Yes, Your Omnipotence.
In that case, my ignominy is ingrate. You don't deserve to have your wish granted.
Oh, but Your Highness.
The great Nas has spoken.
The great who?
I said, Nas has spoken. That's what you get for smoking. On you, I wouldn't waste my wizarding.
Yes, but...
If you wanted healthy lungs, you should have learned when you were young to observe my signs that say...
Yes?
Nasmo King.
Nasmo... Oh.
This reminder from your lung association is a matter of life and breath.
Now, while you were gone, here's what's been happening in that mythical kingdom, the United Kingdom of Limbovania. I can only say that there has been a miraculous transformation. It is no longer a sleepy little country. It has been transformed miraculously into a mighty nation, powerful in the councils of the world community. There has been a surge of energy and patriotism, and right now, the proud and happy Limbos are celebrating the first anniversary of the King's Ring and the apparently magical talisman that has sparked the great resurgence.
And even Master Gerard seems to have caught the fever as he works frantically in his shop.
What are you doing there?
What do you think I'm doing, my dear wife? I'm making anniversary souvenirs. See these medals? You knock them out for a penny and you sell them for a pound.
But they're junk.
Oh, sure. You see how you do it? You line them up, you punch them out.
But I...
And I got our kids out in the street with two big bagfuls. We'll sell thousands of them. You see what they say? Big limbos on the march. Everybody buys one. Everybody wears one. Because how else can you prove you're a loyal, patriotic citizen?
Oh, stop it.
Come on, come on. Get your genuine, authentic pledge of loyalty to the Emperor. Designed by the super sensational House of Gerard.
I said stop it.
Why? You always wanted to be rich.
I can't accept this.
What's the matter?
I don't like you this way. Cynical, scornful, sneering.
And successful.
No. Hard, cruel, contemptuous.
Was it better the old way, when I was stupid and we starved?
Oh, please, Gerard, be kind, be sweet. The way you always were.
You see the world dazzled by dishonesty, enchanted by incompetence, transfigured by trivia. You say, it cannot, it must not go on forever. But actually, it can. Obviously, it will. And perhaps it must. Why fight it?
Oh, this junk, what you're doing now, it's not you. It's a lie. I never sold anything in this shop that wasn't genuine.
That isn't true.
When did I ever sell anything that was a fraud?
Pick up a magazine, any magazine.
Why?
Well, look at the magazines. What's being featured on every cover?
Well, the King's Ring. They'll find out.
How can they find out? What can they find out? I'm the only one who can tell.
Oh, they have ways. The people with power, they have ways. They'll find out, and they'll hunt you down.
Sophie, you must control yourself.
A man, a hard-looking, cruel-looking, frightening man, will suddenly walk in here and ask, are you Mr. Gerard? And when you say yes, he'll kill you.
Sophie.
Mr. Gerard.
How did you get in here?
Hey, Mr. Gerard.
He's not in.
Hiya, Gerard, baby.
No, you're making a mistake.
Aren't you glad to see me? It's Marissa.
Marissa, why did you betray me? Why do you want to kill me?
Kill you? Honey, I'm going to make you.
Make me what?
Jeweler to the king.
Jeweler to the king?
Well, that's why we're here. Right, Leroy?
Jeweler to the king.
Where's Gerard? Where's my man, Gerard?
Your Majesty.
Brother Gerard. Hey, let me look in your eyes. Yeah, I see the truth. Eyes, Brother Gerard, are the mirror of the soul. And you simply cannot hide your honesty, your independence, and your integrity.
Honesty, independence, integrity. Three reasons, Your Majesty, why I am a ruined man today. But I'm ready to reform. I'm eager to improve myself. I'm willing to learn.
Now then, Gerard, old buddy, could you do me a little favor?
Try me. Test me.
Well, I got this little item here, see? I wonder if you might just possibly tell me what it's worth.
Your Majesty, this ring is, it's absolutely unique.
Come on, Gerard. We're not king and subject. We're friend and friend, huh? The truth. Speak the truth.
The truth?
Yeah, just among buddies. What's it worth?
The truth? This is a framis.
Yeah? What's a framis?
A piece of glass.
I beg your pardon, Gerard, you said...
I said it was a piece of glass.
You're positive?
I'm positive.
It don't look like a piece of glass.
I know.
Well, I'm no expert. But this looks like the world's most valuable diamond to me.
And yet, it's the world's most ordinary glass.
A piece of glass?
A worthless piece of glass.
Leroy! Throw him in a cell.
But I told you the truth. You asked me for the truth.
And tomorrow morning... Shoot him!
Gin.
You beat me again, Leroy. Who invented this stupid game?
Its origins are obscure. But we're probing the depths of remote antiquity. I have read monographs on the subject in ancient Sanskrit.
Are you an historian?
No. My doctorate is in nuclear physics.
But what are you doing in that uniform?
Practically all of us scientists work for the government. That's where it's at. As they say.
Is that good?
It's neither good nor bad. It's relative.
Uh-huh. Now I'll knock.
How many?
Two.
One.
Ah, this is a pointless game.
In many ways, this is the story of your life.
Gerard, I fixed it for you. The door's open. Walk out.
Marissa, the king is letting me out? He was only joking?
Well, all you have to do is say some words.
What words?
These words. Your Majesty, your ring is worth untold millions.
But it isn't true.
Well, nobody's asking you for the truth. All you're being asked for is some words. Just words. And the sun keeps shining, the grass keeps growing, the seas keep rolling. Words. Your Majesty, your ring is a precious gem beyond price. Its worth is untold millions.
But that ring, it's a Framis.
Did I say no? Should you say no? Sure, say no. But up your sleeve to yourself and never, never any louder than this.
It's a Framis.
But you still don't understand. It is a Framis.
All right. Let me show you how you can even do business on that basis. Instead of, it is a Framis, say it was a Framis. Is, was, they're the same words. All you did was change the what, Leroy?
The tense.
Now, Marissa.
It was a Framis when you had it. But let a little tense intervene and things change, no? The caterpillar was. Butterfly is. And do you know what that humble little Framis has become?
No.
It has become the state. The Royal Federated Union of the United Kingdom of Limbovania. Dig? Do you know what that silly Framis has become? It has become... What word do I want, Leroy?
A status quo.
The status quo.
But that's it. We must change. We must reject the status quo. We must fight it. Change it.
Reject it. Fight it. Change it. Why? It's great. What have you got to gain by changing it?
What have I got to gain? Everything.
Everything. You mean you'll get something out of it?
Yes.
Well, I've already got mine. When do you get yours?
Later on.
Later on? When?
After I die.
Oh, but then you get nothing.
You're wrong. I get immortality.
But you'll be dead.
Naturally. You have to die to become immortal.
So how can you enjoy it?
You don't enjoy it.
Well, then why do you want it?
I need it.
For what?
To validate my principles. To prove I was right.
Oh, you're a nut.
Every man who's a hero in history was once a nut to his neighbors. A troublesome, quarrelsome, meddlesome nut. But I won't crack. I won't break. I'll denounce and defy them to the very end. They'll take my life, but they'll give me immortality. Immortality, yes. There will be a trial, then the sentence and the execution. But even as the echoes of the shots fade away, there shall be another sound, another voice. And the people will know that they have been deluded and deceived by the frauds that rule them. And my name, the story of my deeds and my defiance, shall live forever. My grave shall become a shrine.
You think so?
And I shall be a legend.
I don't think so. Let me tell you how it'll happen. Here, in your cell, you'll be alone with Leroy. And you'll get a .38 caliber slug in the back of your neck.
How can you say that? Leroy's a scientist. Scientists don't kill people.
You'll never know what hit you. Neither will anyone else. A shrine. Who'll ever find you? They'll flush you down a sewer and poison the water. Or they'll broil you in a furnace and you'll pollute the air.
Oh, Marissa, help me.
Oh, you'll die a hero. But a secret hero. An unknown hero. An unheard-of hero.
Hey, would you just hold on there, Brother Gerard? And could you do an old buddy a little favor, huh? Look at this again and see if you can tell me what it's worth.
I
tell His Majesty what you see in there.
But I don't see anything.
Gerard, look again. Don't you see her?
Who?
Her.
Please, Gerard, be kind. Be sweet. The way you always were.
What do you see when you look in that gem?
My wife. My children.
What else do you see?
The sun, the sky, the sea.
Come on, Brother Gerard. What is this worth?
Your Majesty, this ring is precious beyond price. It's worth untold millions.
Oh, thank you, Gerard. Thank you.
But it's a Framis.
It's a Framis. Well, didn't Galileo say the same thing under his breath to the judges of the Inquisition? Nevertheless, it moves. Does this mean there is a time and place for everything in this world? There sure is. And if you don't believe me, check it out in the wonderful biblical book of Ecclesiastes. And wait for me. I'll be right back.
When you have a job and you give it everything that you can, it's a good feeling, a real good feeling, getting back what you've been putting in. Yes, it's a good feeling. What's a good feeling? When you're doing what you like to do. And it's a good feeling. What's a good feeling? When you're working just because you're you.
If you get the feeling that you've been discriminated against on the job because you're between age 40 and 65, call the folks at the nearest federal wage and hour office today. They're listed under U.S. Government, Department of Labor. This is Diana Trask, and this message has been brought to you as a public service by the U.S. Department of Labor and this station.
A diamond is a piece of carbonized rock, and so is a piece of coal. If you were offered your choice of a sackful of each, which would you choose?
Would you really?
Okay. Now suppose you were offered that same choice in an isolated cabin, snowbound in the dead of winter, with the temperature at 30 below zero. You bet you would. You see, value is relative. And one of the few absolutes in life is the fact that you can depend on us each time at the same hour. Our cast included Howard Da Silva, Bryna Rayburn, Joan Shea, Ian Martin, and Robert Dryden. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Now, son, we are going to take this hill.
Yes, sir?
By assault.
By assault, sir?
We'll take her by storm.
Yeah, but they're firing down on us pretty hot and heavy.
We're not called the Rough Riders for nothing, Homestead.
I'm Halstead, sir.
That's what I said.
Yeah, but we don't have our horses. They're still in the ship.
We'll just charge up this hill on our own 2 feet.
Well, there's an awful lot of fire pouring down from the top of this hill, sir.
Now, my boy, I've been watching you for a long time. I like your courage. I want you by my side when we make the assault.
Me, sir?
Yes, my boy. I want you to be my flag bearer.
Yeah, but I...
Now the flag's back at the headquarters, Kent Homestead.
Sir, my name
is... I want you to run back there just as fast as your legs can carry you. And get that flag. And up that hill we go!
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Allied Van Lines. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
the air with bright and beautiful music. KIXI, Seattle.
CBS News. Fierce fighting is reported in a town 16 miles east of Beirut as leftists stand by their rejection of President-elect Sarkis. I'm Rita Sands reporting on the CBS radio network. The site of the battle in the hill town of Antura was captured by leftists before the current ceasefire, and observers say the face-off could trigger resumption of a full-scale civil war in Lebanon. Mike Lee has traveled to another battle zone in Lebanon and has this report.
Amid the rubble of the seaside front lines of Beirut, a little girl played with the remnants of one of the many mortar shells that have landed in the streets. A few militiamen walk through the wrecked buildings and shops, coming away with plastic shopping bags full of what is left to loot. Most of the area has already been picked clean, and most gunmen have nothing to do but sit and wait for the next move by their leaders. A leftist alliance, led by Kamal Jumblatt, has already issued a statement denouncing the Syrian-backed election of conservative banker Elias Sarkis as the new president. One of the popular rumors going around town is more fighting in the next few days. But many of the people who support the leftist push for pro-Muslim reforms have been without jobs and adequate food for months and long for an end to the fighting. It is a time of anguish and decision for the Muslim left, which may, in the long run, have little choice but to give the new government a chance. Mike Lee, CBS News, Beirut.
President Ford has decided to add an extra day of campaigning in Michigan for the May 18th primary. White House aides say Mr. Ford is hoping to regain momentum against Ronald Reagan in the coming Midwestern primaries. The president held a strategy meeting yesterday and viewed a victory in Michigan, his home state, and Nebraska as crucial to his winning back the lead for the Republican presidential nomination. Senator Frank Church, a Democratic presidential hopeful, says Jimmy Carter is unrealistically optimistic about his lead in the race.
He says that the nomination is in the bag. I don't agree with that. I don't think this nomination is in the bag unless his assumption that Nebraskan people and Western voters after the Nebraska primary will simply fall into step and simply conform their vote to the vote that has occurred in earlier primaries.
Church was the only presidential candidate to campaign in Nebraska yesterday. Officials in Stuttgart, West Germany, say security throughout the country has been stepped up to guard against reprisals by sympathizers of the Baader-Meinhof urban guerrilla gang following Ulrich Meinhof's suicide. Alleged to be a leader of the gang, she was found in her prison cell yesterday, hanged from a strip of towel. She had been on trial with three others charged with guerrilla activities. Police fear her death could be a rallying point for a new guerrilla movement. Two West German industrial firms in Paris were hit by bomb explosions. The Paris police commissioner said the two explosions were linked and could both be tied to Meinhof's death. The Israeli cabinet has decided on a compromise on the issue of unauthorized settlements on the West Bank of Jordan. It decided against allowing a group of ultra-nationalist Jews to remain there, but did offer to relocate them elsewhere in the zone. The decision was reached after almost 10 hours of debate. The controversy threatened to break up the labor-led coalition government. The left-wing Mapam party voted against the decision, saying the government was only gaining a little time by moving the settlers from one site to another. But observers say Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin's primary concern was to avert an immediate major internal split over the issue. Secretary of State Henry Kissinger told a Jewish audience in Baltimore that Washington would not fail to provide for Israel's security in the negotiations for a Middle East peace. Kissinger said, too, the United States will not impose any solutions on Israel. He said they've got to come from Israel and Egypt, the two countries that must eventually live in the peace they negotiate. An Iranian Air Force jumbo jet crashed in a heavy rainstorm yesterday while approaching Madrid airport, killing all 17 people aboard, possibly including some Americans. Now this.
This is John Cameron Swayze with the 2020 Eye Drops Report. Item, consumers are demanding more of the products they purchase these days, especially health products. Among other things, they look for a solid guarantee. Item, 2020 eye drops are the only eye drops to guarantee complete satisfaction, or your money will be refunded by simply returning the bottle. And if that's news to you, this is John Cameron Swayze reminding you to read the label and try 2020 eye drops, the guaranteed solution.
Hey, you kids, you go play somewhere else now. Who am I kidding? Where are those kids going to find a place to stay out of trouble around here?
Tough problems call for real solutions, not just talk. If your community has a problem, you need action. Action is skilled volunteers of all ages working together to help solve tough community problems. Write Action, Department Q, Washington, D.C., 20525. Between us, there's got to be a solution.
This is a public service of this station and the Advertising Council.
A priest in northeast Italy, hit by a second strong earthquake Sunday, said he witnessed burials without prayer. He said the mourners do not believe a god could be so cruel, and he said, I don't believe it either. It's expected the death toll from Thursday's quake will reach 1,000. Rescue workers who continue to search for bodies wear masks to protect themselves from infection. Over 100,000 Italians are homeless now. Talks in the rubber workers' strike resume at 10 o'clock Monday morning in Cleveland. Gail Weinreiter, federal mediator, says he is not optimistic about any quick settlement, despite declarations from both sides that they'd like to end their 20-day-old feud. Rita Sands, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The time, 11:06.
It's 24 hours of bright and beautiful music from KIXI. From KIXI, it's bright and beautiful music, 24 hours a day.